All right, so we're going to go to Revelation chapter 20, and we're going to stay in that vein, obviously, because we really just got started in it. So I'm going to do a little of a refresh and then just teach again some of those other things that we went over and give it to you in a fresh way. Is that okay? Since we had a little bit of a break. And I think that always helps you to refresh. So remember, we're going to talk about the millennial kingdom. The millennial kingdom, that's a Latin word for 1,000 years. And most theologians believe that it's a literal 1,000 years. I believe that it's a literal 1,000 years because of the way the Bible transpires and translates these particular events. Again, this is the kingdom of God that is manifested. It's the kingdom of God manifested. So the millennial reign is God coming on earth, if you will, through the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, as opposed to what now is. Now we are living in the framework. We're living in the structure of the kingdom. We're still in the earth suit. We still feel pain. We still have struggles. We still fight. We still have rain and storms and all these different things. But when it comes to the millennial reign, it's when Jesus comes and reigns on the earth for that 1,000 years, and everything is changed. So we're looking at a very powerful chapter here, because in this chapter, we also get a lot of heavenly doctrine that gives us an understanding of what the future is going to be. So it's not something to just, you know, jump up and down and just preach on. It's something to look at and say, wow, these are incredible truths that are going to take place in our future. So now we're living in the time frame of the kingdom. Remember, earth is touched by heaven right now. You say, what does that mean by living in that framework? That means, again, you know, we're sitting here. Give you a good example, where we go to church, or you could be at your home during prayer, and all of a sudden, you know, you get into worship, and next thing you know, you feel the presence of God. Next thing you know, the atmosphere changes. You're worshiping at church, and the great sensation of the Father's presence and His warmth comes over you, or the healing power of God comes on you. Whatever that manifestation is, that is heaven touching earth, and earth opening up and receiving the manifestation of the kingdom, but not in totality. Does that make any sense? Because we're still, like I showed you with the bear and the pig, they're not lying down together, right? We're not there yet. We still have a way to go, so please don't lay down with a bear. All right, so when Jesus ministered, remember this, He ministered His power. But He came and He said, the kingdom is nigh unto you. The kingdom is nigh. In other words, the kingdom is near to you. Why? Because He is the King and the kingdom. And He was manifesting and He was showing the world, this is what's coming. And this is why it's called the good news and the gospel. It's not that we live a pain-free, stress-free, death-free, any other type of free, gluten-free lifestyle. It means that we can taste heaven and long for what it's going to be, and we get a revelation of it. And so Jesus came to do what? To do good, to cast out devils, to break strongholds, to heal the sick, to open the blinded eyes, to raise the dead, showing us on earth that this is what is to come. And then you look at it from a gospel point of view and you say, why wouldn't you want that? See, it doesn't go into rules and regulations and all these things of do's and don'ts with God. What the kingdom message is look, this is what I want to do for you. Yes, in part on earth, but in totality in heaven. And why wouldn't you want that? Taste and see that the Lord is good. Does that make sense? Luke chapter 10, verse 9. Let's go back to that. We were there, but let's take a look at that so we can, you know, use scripture to verify. And do what? Heal the sick, that are therein, Jesus is telling his disciples, and say unto them, notice healing the sick, you're telling them what? The kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. You see that? So he's making that bridge and that connection between kingdom and healing. The problem that we have a lot of times in Christianity is we overemphasize the manifestation and want everything to be heaven on earth, and when it doesn't work out, we get disappointed in God. Yes, because our preachers have put us in this lofty position that, Sarah, you ain't going to have a problem today in your life. You join this church and you're going to be driving a Bentley. You know, everything's going to be great. You know, and she loses her job or you know, whatever. And then not ready for that struggle. Does that make sense? Same thing it is with healing and just going through the battles and the struggles. So that's the beginning statements that I want to give to you about this whole millennial thing. And what's great about it is we get the down payment by the Holy Spirit and that seal of the Holy Spirit and that taste that does keep us driving along through life and through the battles. Why? Because we know there's a kingdom coming. We know it's not going to be like this all the time. Somebody say amen. That's why I'm worried about elections. I ain't worried about, you know, kings and prime ministers and presidents. I have a king. Come on, we've got a king, and it's already established, it's already set up, and one day we get to meet the king. Okay, verse 1, so Revelation chapter 20, verse 1, let's look at that again. All righty. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having a key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Everybody say, great chain. Great chain. There's only one that has that great chain, and I believe that speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, I saw an angel having a key and a great chain. We know in Revelation 1:8, you don't have to go there, it speaks of that having the keys. And again, I believe this is speaking not symbolically, but I believe it's speaking actually, in reality. All right, verse 2. And he laid hold. Everybody say he grabbed the dog. He grabbed that dog. He laid hold. Again, that's exactly what that is referring to in the Greek in strongest terms. It's like being arrested. It's like being manhandled. So this is no joke. And something I want to reiterate and bring this out. Sorry if I have my back to you, but I'm trying to balance this out here. But when Jesus grabs hold of this enemy, number one, this right here is showing you how strong he is. He has total dominion. And the words in the Greek there just shows his strength. He's manhandling. He's got this thing. But it also shows you the resistance of the enemy, that the enemy doesn't want to go, that the enemy doesn't want to give in without a fight. How many of y'all know that in your own life?
Right.
You know, sometimes you got to rebuke more than once.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to slap that dog down more than twice in your life. So it's not always one and done. Okay? So it means to grab hold of it. Here's the Greek. It also means with power, strength, and to restrain him and subdue. Now, in my past career of life, I have subdued people who were causing harm and felonies, and I know what it's like to use power to restrain somebody. And, you know, you have to exert yourself. So that's exactly what this means. Very powerful. All right, so verse 2. Was that verse 2? Yeah, I was talking about the titles. That's what I was trying to get to in my notes here. So I said this last time. Why so many titles? Why so many titles? Well, because there's so many titles anyways for the devil, but I believe God did it in this way. Let there be no mistake who this is. I'm going to handle your adversary. I'm going to handle that devil. I'm going to handle that serpent in the garden. I'm going to handle Satan. All these names, I'm going to handle the devil. And I just want you to know there's going to be no mistake of identity. I don't need a lineup to figure out who committed the crime. It's you, devil, and I got you. And you are mine now. I thought that was pretty cool. Okay, verse 3. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more. That's one of my favorite parts of this entire chapter. He shuts them up. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Because most of our battles in our lives are in the arena of the mind. And most of our battles in our lives are by what words are spoken to us, either from the past, by others, that are repeated by the devil. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Or the enemy just telling you, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. You better give up right here. Well, he gets shut up. And they set a seal upon him that he should not deceive. He should deceive the nations no more. So this gets a little strange here. There's a seal put on there that he shouldn't deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. Well, wait a minute. I thought you sealed him up. I thought you manhandled him. You threw him in. You had the great chain. You bound him up. He's in the bottomless pit. He's shut up. But now you say there's going to be a release to the 1,000 years be fulfilled. And after that, he must. Everybody say must. He must be loose for a little season. Now here's where you look at this and you say, Lord, I'm trying to figure this thing out. Why would you go through all the trouble, if you will, to do this and then bind him up and then let him loose? Well, the reason for that is because during this 1,000 years, there will be people that will be born. There'll be children on the earth. There'll be people that are that have not made, if you will, that commitment to Christ. And I'm going to prove all this to you in Scripture. Because it's absolutely an astounding, an amazing teaching. But here's this 1,000 years, and God says, I'm gonna keep this guy bound up. I'm gonna allow things to happen, and then we're gonna see exactly where the nations are. So actually, you can say for some, the 1,000 years is a testing period. You might want to write that down if you want to. It's a testing period. Testing humanity that is on earth. There will be people who will go through the tribulation and live. As incredible as that sounds, as incredible amount of death that we've taught of the earth and depopulation of what's going to happen in the destructions and the judgments, there will still be people that will be birthed onto the earth. And because God is a good God, and because Jesus made that sacrifice, there's no other way into heaven but through him. Is that right?
That's right.
So it has to be a fair deal. There's something about God that amazes me, that he is so fair and so righteous. When there's so many angles he could take, there's so many loopholes, there's so many things he could just do and just change up, but he doesn't. He said, this is the way it's going to be. This is the provision. I'm going to prove all to you because it's kind of a wild thing, but it's true. So he's bound literally 1,000 years. So he grabs him, he throws him in, he shuts him up, he puts him in the pit. Revelation 3:7, you can go back and look at that. But he must be loose for a season. Go to Isaiah 24:22. Let's look at that. Isaiah 24:22. Is this all right so far? All right. And they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and shall be shut up in the prison, and after many days they shall be visited. Again, there's the whole prophetic prophecy concerning that period of time, and many days they shall be visited. or they would be released. So go to verse 4 of chapter 20, Revelation chapter 20. And I saw thrones. So now we kind of change, we change a little bit of a view here. I saw thrones. Remember, these are not thrones as God's throne. They're seats of authority. They're council seats. And they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. Who sat upon them? Me and you. This is speaking of us. And they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Let's read that again. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given, or authority to judge was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded. They were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image. Now, again, going back to all the hysteria that's happening today, we are not in that moment. Let me try that again. We're not in that moment. Because it's just the connection's not there. Neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads and on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Okay, next verse. So that's good to know that whatever sacrifice is made during that time, there is that reward. Now, I'm not going to go back into those scriptures. I gave you tons of scriptures when I said prove it, you know, speaking of us. You just have to go back. There's so many scriptures. Revelation 1:6, 2:26, 26 through 27, Revelation 3:21, Revelation 5:10, Romans 8:17, 1 Corinthians 6:2-4, 2 Timothy 2:12, Hebrews 12:28, Psalms 149, 6 through 9, and Daniel 17, 18, and 27. So there's so many scriptures. If you didn't catch all that I just said, now hit pause or go back to the archives, but it is there. And you can see we are going to reign and rule with Christ. So here's the deal. The Battle of Armageddon takes place. Once the Battle of Armageddon takes place, we are coming back with the Lord Jesus. Is that right? Absolutely. To reign and rule with him in our glorified bodies. Right. We're here. We're not in an earth suit anymore. But the people that are left during that time, they are in their earth suit. They're in their bodies. We come and reign and rule with the Lord Jesus. Very powerful. Okay? So the first and the second resurrection, they span 1,000 years. Just so you know this, 1,000-year span. Okay. Verse 5. Yeah, let's go to verse 5. And it says, but the rest of the dead lived not again until when? The 1,000 years were finished. Do you see the gap? Yes. The rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is what? The first resurrection. Read it one more time. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Okay? All right, next verse. Blessed and holy. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in what? The first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Did you see the connection? I'm blessed and I'm holy. I was a part of that first resurrection. The second death has no power over me, but I'm going to be a priest of God and of Christ, and I'm going to reign for 1,000 years. Right. So that just put me in those prior verses about the throne. Is that correct?
Yes.
I don't even have to go to other scriptures, but we use other scriptures to prove it. But here the Bible interprets itself. All right, that's pretty cool, isn't it? So that's proof right there. We're reigning with him. So what are we doing? We're doing priestly duties. We're serving the Lord Jesus and serving the Most High while others are doing the whatever labor that is on the earth at the particular time. There'll still be industry. There'll still be cultivating and growing food. There'll still be these types of things. The millennial kingdom is not going to be the magic kingdom where everything pops up, petunias, and angels are doing all the work. There will be a celestial, heavenly aspect, a very supernatural aspect, obviously, because what happened? Heaven comes to earth, but it also have a very natural aspect to it, to those who are trapped, for no other word, in their flesh and their bodies. Okay, so those are the ones, remember this, those are the ones that during this time, again, are going to be raised up in the things of God to know about Jesus. And there's much more I'll get into, but they have to go through that particular season of testing to find out if they truly, watch this, do they truly love Jesus for what he did on the cross and the sacrifice? Are they, if you will, faking it or just embracing this kingdom life because they don't want to go anywhere else? They don't want to go to hell. They don't want the alternative. I hope that's making sense to you, because that is the nature of man. You say, how do you know that? That's the nature of man now.
Right.
Some people who go to church and say they're saved, they just don't want to go to hell. They don't have a real heart towards God. They just don't want to go to hell. And that's, you know, I'm not going to judge that. That's between God and you. But I want to make sure my heart is right. You know, he knows your heart.
Yes.
That's very important. Okay, so I hope that makes sense. All right, what's your next verse? Verse 7? All right, verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Okay, man, this is messing me up now, isn't it? You just manhandled him. You threw him into the jail. He's in the pit. He's got a chain around him. You shut him up. You got the seal over it. And then now the 1,000 years are expired. But he shall be loosed out of his prison. Why is he loosed out of his prison? Next verse. And he shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth. There it is. Nations, people, right?
Yes.
Not me and you.
No.
We're on the thrones. Mm-hmm. We're saints. We have our gowns, our robes of righteousness. We have been redeemed.
Yes.
We're kings and we're priests unto God. Everything that God promised us in part here on earth is now manifested to the fullness. In other words, scripture tells us what? That we are kings and priests unto God and we're a peculiar people, a royal nation. Well, sometimes I don't feel very royal.
All right.
Is anybody here? Sometimes I don't feel very priestly. Sometimes I don't feel like I'm a king.
Right.
Sometimes I feel like I'm the man on the run. You know, or whatever. I'm in a tremendous battle of life. What is this?
Yes.
In part, I get it. There are days when we're high and we're really on top of things and God's blessing us and onward, Christian soldier. And we're on the top of the peak of the mountain of God. And then all of a sudden, through the valley, right? You ever been there? Life on the top and then, whew, most preachers don't teach you about the slide. We need to preach on that, called the Christian slide, because we don't want to hear that. It doesn't sell good. But you don't want to live in the valley, but you don't want to lie about the mountain.
Right.
So you make it plain. You make it plain. And so that's what the kingdom is in part. So I get to feel that in part. The love of God is what? shed abroad in my heart, how? By the Holy Ghost. I get to feel the love of God. I have a seal of redemption, the seal of adoption by the Holy Spirit. It gives me a down payment for what is to come. Now, as we're in this situation here, we're seeing the total manifestation of it. Now we're in the glorified body, and all that is working to our good, okay? And he shall go out to the sea of the nations, which are in the four corners of the earth. So those are the people that were left behind in the tribulation period that lived, and children that were born in the thousand-year reign, right? If it says nation, that means people, and I think people will still want to have babies, don't you?
Yeah.
Gog and Magog, again, that's not talking about the Gog and Magog, Ezekiel 38, 39. It's talking about going to the corners of the earth, going to the masses of people, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. So think about that. Think about how many people are going to be birthed on the earth for 1,000 years. I don't have the census of... I have no idea of the census of our 1,000 years of existence, how many people have been born. But you just imagine this thing. And God is emphasizing and teaching us this, that listen, I'm doing this for a reason. I have to test the heart of those. How fair would it be for God that we have to get saved by faith of a Jesus we've never seen before, of a cross I've never seen before, but I believe by faith through the Word of God. But they get to see Jesus in the New Jerusalem. Watch that.
Right.
And to them it would be appointed salvation to them because they saw. That's not God. That's not how it works. This is how it works. Okay? And this is, he's a very, very fair God. You look at Scripture, and Jesus, you know, people got mad because people got paid the same amount of money for those who worked less hours. Remember that? Got all mad at Jesus about it. Hey, I'm the steward. I'm the husbandman. This is my farm. This is my land. This is my business. These are my people. I will pay the way I see that is just. That's what I love about God. He is a just God. Okay? So fire comes down. We know that. Why is Satan being loosed? Again, because of his necessity to go into test the people. Kingdom life. I want to talk about kingdom life now and show you just a little more into that. Go to Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2, 1 through 4. Okay, I think I briefly touched over this, but it's really imperative that I went back over all of this. Isaiah 2, 1 through 4. The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, next verse, and it shall come to pass in the last days, which is speaking of not last days like this days alone, this is speaking of the millennial, the last days, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills. And how many nations? All nations shall flow into it. Are they flowing to the mountain of God right now? No. In fact, we're running from the mountain of God. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go to the mountain of the Lord. Do you notice those words there are more of an invitation? Yes. They're not a command. Get over here. Get up here to the mountain right now and go see God. Jesus is waiting on you. No. And many people, how many? Not all. He goes to see the nations, right? But many people shall go and say, come and see, let's go up to the mountain of the Lord and the house of God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways. So there's teaching, there's a testing going on. Again, you're not going to just, nobody gets a free pass. And, you know, let me apply this to our Christianity. We really think, and I'm telling you, I know people watching me right now, we really think sometimes because of a pastor or somebody is elevated on a platform or whatever, the good business person got money, we think they get a pass with God. Yeah, we do. Well, God just loves them more. He's doing more for them than me. You know, and we get this attitude, and that's just the devil trying to distract us when it's not so. God is, again, I will say it again and again, he is a fair God. And aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? But it notices that they will be taught. They will have to be taught because there comes the test. You're taught the ways of the Lord. Come to the mountain of the Lord. See a better way of living, folks. See a better way of life. And then the devil's loosed, and he comes in and he knocks all those blocks down. He knocks all of those principles of righteousness down. And he says, no, follow me. And would you believe it? People will literally follow him. To me, this is one of the most mind-boggling doctrines, I think, of the millennial, is the fact that people would see Jesus in the New Jerusalem, see him in his kingdom glory, hear all about him, the mountaintop. In other words, the whole aspect of God is larger than anything else in the world, of all the nations, of all the governments. It's the pinnacle. It's what's happening on the earth at the time. And then people will literally say, nah. Nah. I don't need that. Okay? It's going to happen. People are doing it right now. All right. And he will teach us. No, go back. I'm sorry. And he will teach us his ways. And we'll walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth what? The law and the word of God from Jerusalem. In other words, all righteousness, all rules, all truth, the good plans, everything that God began to teach and to do through the Lord Jesus, what he began to teach and do through the church, what he tried to accomplish on the earth, will be manifested in fullness right here in a very incredible way. All right, next verse. And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. So in this teaching and in this pinnacle of his government, the pinnacle of his kingdom, he's still going to be rebuking nations. Again, go back to my statement. It's a test period, a testing period. This isn't for you and I. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares. Remember I told you we're going to be doing some farming? They're going to be doing some farming. And their spears and the pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation. Thank God for that. Neither shall they learn war any more. Isn't that cool? I said, that's very cool. All right, so go back to Revelation chapter 20. I think they need this right now over in Ukraine. So he shall go out to see the nations which are in the four corners. All right, next verse. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about. Now look at this. This is another battle. Read this with me. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about. Who's that? Us. They literally surround the saints. They surround the New Jerusalem. They surround the very pinnacle of God's authority. It would be like an ambush. Think how crazy this is. And then think about how crazy your enemy is. Yeah. He's got something loose going on up there. That he's in a prison for 1,000 years. He gets out of that prison for 1,000 years. He goes and deceives people. They rise up with him. And now here they come. Attack! Literally, that's what it's showing you. That they're going to go to the very seat of all authority and follow this loser. You know, apply it to today's life. When we're far from God and we serve, you know, the enemy and all those things we've done in our life, we look back and we go like, I can't believe I followed him. But he has a very powerful way to deceive, doesn't he? Money, fame, physical things is a very powerful poison that many, many, many great men and many, many great women have fallen because of that poison. And the beginning was in the Garden of Eden, is that right? Okay, so they compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And then what did God do? And fire came down from heaven out of heaven and devoured them. The end. Remember VeggieTales, guys? Remember VeggieTales? I don't remember what program that was, but it was very funny. If you haven't seen VeggieTales, I'm sorry. It's a unique experience. But they had this, what were they doing? They were trying to attack God's people, and then God just lit them up. I think it was Sodom and Gomorrah, wasn't it? Yeah, he lit them up with fire, and the one guy ran around, he was going, and God finished them off. Kind of funny. Sad, but kind of funny. But here it is. He says, I'm done. I am completely done with your shenanigans. I am completely done with your deception. And there you go. All right? Next verse. And the devil that deceived them was cast into what? The lake of fire and brimstone. This ain't no pit, baby. There's no waders, there's no lifeguards, no lifeboats, no swimmies. You're not getting out of this one. Where the beast and the false prophet are, remember they were thrown in first, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. I want you to write down, there are two classes of people in the millennial. The glorified saints and those who live during tribulation who are now and forever will be locked in their earth suit or their flesh. I explained this to you before. They'll have babies, those different things. I gave you Matthew 22:30. We will not. We'll be like the angels. All ladies had babies before, say amen. Okay, let's see, I wrote this in my notes. How will they live in health and eternal life? So that's a good question. How do they live if they're in that situation? How do they live? Go to Revelation chapter 22. Oh, I'm sorry, verse 1 through 2. That would help you, wouldn't it? And he showed me a pure river of water of life. Doesn't that sound good? I'm really thirsty right now, aren't you? A pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and out of the Lamb, and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on the other side of the river, was there a tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the trees were for the healing of what? The nations. Now, I'm going to go back to that later when it comes to that chapter, really teach on that. But you say, how do these people live for that 1,000 years? Well, God sustains them. God sustains them. Go to Isaiah 11:6-10, and I think that's where I'm going to stop at. Because now I'm really going to get into more of that doctrinal understanding of longevity and how God's going to do this thing. Is that cool? Okay, Isaiah 11:6. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. Is it happening now? Nope. And the leopard shall lie down with the kid. Not happening. Oh, I know, somebody sent me an Instagram thing. I know it happens once in a while. But and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall do what? Lead them. Notice the wordings here. This is prophetic. The little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear, doesn't say pig, does it? No. The cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like what? The ox. So this is millennial speaking, isn't it? Millennial reign, because lion don't like straw that I'm aware of. And they like you. Next verse. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp. Okay, if my child got near a snake and its hole, I would freak out, wouldn't you? And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. In other words, there's going to be no fear that the child is just, there's no fear because there's going to be no venom. There's going to be no poison. It's going to be an incredible moment. So again, it's speaking of that particular time. Okay, next. And thou shalt not hurt nor destroy in all of my holy mountain. There's that word again, or connection of holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord. There it goes back to him talking about teaching, showing the path, showing the ways. You see the connection? As the waters cover the sea. So it'll be all over the earth, the glory, the knowledge of the Lord. There'll be no excuse for anybody during that millennial reign, no excuse to say, I didn't hear about Jesus. No excuse to say, I wasn't given a chance. Next verse. That shows you the fairness of God. And in that day, there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, and it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Talking about the Lord Jesus and the people coming towards that mountain and those different things. The reason I gave you the scriptures just now of Isaiah is this: DNA changes. What you just witnessed in that wordage is a DNA change of creation, of animals. And that's what's going to happen during the millennial. That creation will have a DNA change. That the lion will lie down with the lamb. That the child can pick up a snake and not be afraid. Why? Because that aspect of it has been changed. So, very cool. Very powerful. And I think one of the neat things to take away from this is that we get to reign and rule with Christ, and that we get another chance to really minister to people and share with them and teach and bring forth the revelation that God is a fair God, he's a wonderful God, and that Jesus paid that sacrifice for all of us. We're doing that now, but we get to do it in the fullness of the kingdom. And I'm looking forward to that day. Guys, I love you. I will see you Sunday morning. Father, thank you so much for your grace. Thank you for keeping us safe during these storms and all of our neighbors and friends. Bless all of our works, Father, all of our labors, whether they're here on the home front in our families, neighborhood, state, our nation, or around the world. Bless the seed sown so nobody has to miss the opportunity of being a saint and sitting on those thrones with you forever. In Jesus' name.